Let me invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We've been looking at the death of Christ a few weeks ago, then the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ last week, and we're going to look at what Jesus is doing today, even as we speak, even as we're worshiping together during this time. Direct your attention now with me to verses 14 through 16. This will be the first focus of our scripture this morning. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Hear now the word of God. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall endure forever. Let us pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of your word. We pray, God, that we would be encouraged and motivated to live as Christians at this time, in this place, this particular situation of our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know, I need someone. Please help me. You know, these songs come from a 1965 number one song, but these lyrics remind us that help is something we need, because if you'll look at verse 15, it says that we are tempted. It says that we are weak in verse 15, that we have sin, and in verse 16, that we are needy people. We are weak, needy people who need help, especially with one crucial area of our lives, and that is the issue of access. Backstage pass, sideline pass, press pass. When you have a pass, you have something other people cannot have, and that is you have access. Access to something, access to somebody. There's two occasions in my life when a press pass gave me access that other people did not have. The first time was 1981, Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, University of Southern Mississippi playing the University of Alabama. The final score was a 10-10 tie. I was given a armband press pass. I put a camera around my neck, and I was able to go anywhere I wanted to go on the sidelines. As a matter of fact, I got about 10 feet from Bear Bryant, who was not a happy camper that particular afternoon. Second time that I had this access, I had a press pass to one of the first Magnolia Golf Classics in Hattiesburg. And because of that press pass, I was able to interact for about 15 minutes with a celebrity that I otherwise would have never been able to access. You see, press passes are cool. They give you access to places and people that we do not normally have access to. But for most of us, access to special people is nothing more than just a distant dream. What we're more familiar with is what it's like to be locked out, or during these last 6 weeks, to be locked in, left out, access denied, not being able to be with people we want to be with, to be in places we'd love to be, restaurants, churches, sporting events. Right now, access denied. We're longing for connection, not virtual connection. We appreciate virtual connection on smartphones and Zoom meetings, but we long for personal connection with people, not with pixels on a computer screen. And friends, our longing for connection is a signpost pointing to a deeper longing, and that is our longing for a personal connection with God. The reality is, for most of us, there's not a connection except the connection we struggle to make. After all, He is God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We confess that this morning. You know, we struggle, all of us, we struggle to find access to this God. But yet we long for it. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in You, O God." We want that personal connection. But in order to access this God, help, I need somebody, and not just anybody. Legion Field, Hattiesburg Country Club, I needed help from someone else to access what I wanted. I needed someone to please help me. In much the same way, if we're going to have access, connection with the God your heart is longing for this morning, the God who, apart from some kind of intervention, is transcendent and pure and inaccessible, if we want access to this God, we need a go-between. Now, in this text we just finished reading and hearing together this morning, this go-between was called a priest. Now, I want to give you a little Old Testament history. Try not to fall asleep. In the Old Testament system of worship, the only way to access God was through the high priest offering sacrifices for sin. The message sent through these sacrifices, simple enough, sin blocks access to God. Sacrifices give us access. They are our access pass. The high priest, no one else, was qualified to offer this access pass to the Lord. Apart from what the great high priest did in the temple, on behalf of God's chosen people, there was no access whatsoever to God. So the writer to the Hebrews tells these first century Christian Jews, hey, there's a new and better way to God. But as we know, it's not easy to let go of what we feel comfortable with. Those of you parents know about your baby's passies and blankies. Those of us who grow up, we have our own passies and blankies. It's hard to let go of what we're comfortable with. We prefer what's familiar. We prefer what's comfortable, especially when it comes to practicing our religion. We know that, at least initially, things are going to look different here. But we're comfortable with what we've known for all these years. Well, here's the dynamic when applied to us. We depend on being good people. But you know what? We're insecure because we wonder, am I good enough for God? We depend on working hard, doing things for God, but the question is, have I done enough? We depend on religious rituals, but have we done the right religious things? But you know, at the end of the day, truth is, we're depending on ourselves. Our goodness, our good deeds, our family pedigree, our religious rituals. No wonder we vacillate between being prideful on the one hand and depressed on the other hand. Because when all is said and done, at the end of the day, we have made ourselves the ones responsible for gaining access to God. And that's the problem. See, we struggle with that. And into this struggle, there's good news. And that's this: through the work of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, you and I have access to God. Through the work of our great high priest, Jesus, we have access to God. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we're accepted by the only person who ultimately matters. Today, from verses 14 through 16, let's consider three amazing, encouraging facts about Jesus, our great high priest. And the first fact is this: Jesus, the great high priest, is our understanding priest. Understanding. Notice it says in verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Now, you know you're skeptical about taking advice from people who have never experienced what you're going through. You wouldn't trust a nurse who said, look, this shot won't hurt a bit if they've never had a shot. You wouldn't welcome a dentist into your mouth that said, look, this cavity will not hurt a bit, filling this cavity, when they've never had a cavity filled. And what alcoholic would take advice on how to resist a drink from someone who's never struggled with drinking? On the other hand, we listen to people who struggle with what we struggle with. We listen to people who know through personal experience the battles that we fought and that we fight in this fallen world. See, isn't it a great relief today to know this great high priest who represents us before God understands what it's like to live in this fallen world? He's lived where we've lived. Jesus has struggled with what we've struggled with. As a matter of fact, this word sympathize here in verse 15 is a compound of two words that means to suffer with. See, Jesus is not cool. He's not detached. He's not distant. You know, he's not Zeus sitting on top of Mount Olympus. Jesus was a sinless man, but on this earth, he wasn't Superman. Think about this. Jesus woke up with a bedhead. As a teenager, Jesus had pimples. According to Isaiah 53, verse 2, he had no beauty that we should desire of him. In other words, Jesus would not have made the cover of People magazine's 100 Most Beautiful People. Physically, Jesus looked very ordinary. Also, Jesus, like you and like me, he knows these things. Think about these commonalities. Jesus knows what it's like to be thirsty, what it's like to be hungry, what it's like to be despised and rejected and scorned and shamed. Jesus knows what it's like to be embarrassed and misunderstood. Jesus has been the target of false accusations. Jesus was suffocated, tortured, killed. Jesus knows what it's like to be lonely. His friends, his 12 best friends, abandoned him when he needed them the most. Had Jesus lived today, rest assured, every Twitter follower, every Facebook friend would have unfriended him. But yet Jesus would never unfriend us. Friends, believe it. Jesus knows what it's like when the fallenness of this world closes in around us, makes us feel like throwing in the towel. When it comes to being tempted to sin, you know, Jesus doesn't take lightly your struggle with temptation today. Fact is, Jesus was tempted, it says here, with the very same temptations you and I are tempted with. Think about that. He was tempted just like you, but you know what? He never took temptation's bait. Jesus was never caught on the hook of sin. Friends, you may be thinking, well, okay, if Jesus never sinned, then how can he identify with my struggle with temptation? That's how he helps us. Let me put it this way. When you give in to temptation, you're no longer fighting temptation, are you? Playwright Oscar Wilde said, I can resist anything but temptation. Oscar Wilde said, the only way to deal with temptation is to give in to it. But as you know, when you fight temptation, when you resist temptation, that's when you feel how strong it is. Think about it. Every day of his life, Jesus fought and faced temptation, but he never gave in. Jesus won every fight against temptation. So Jesus is 100% qualified to pull you out of the hole of temptation because Jesus never fell in that pit himself. Never, not once. If you're in Christ, you share in the victory that Jesus has achieved over the temptations you're fighting right now. He pulls you out of that pit. He was never there. That's the first fact. Our great high priest, Jesus, understands us. He gets us. We can no longer say, well, you don't understand. Yes, he totally understands everything about us, everything we're facing, every temptation. Second fact is this. Not only is Jesus our great high priest, not only does he understand us, but notice Jesus, the great high priest, is our approachable priest. Not just our understanding priest, but our approachable priest. Look at verse 16. Let us then with confidence, look at these words, draw near to the throne of grace. You know, I've never had the opportunity to fly first class. This past fall when Carol and I went to Italy, we were not in first class, but I would look with eyes green with envy at those in first class. They'll tell you they're not like the rest of the airplane. If they're honest with you, they say, yeah, we feel a little, kind of a cut above those other people. I know, because I was one of those other people to and from Italy. Well, in the Old Testament, in the temple, there's this thick curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. Now, behind this thick curtain, only once a year, one person could go behind that curtain. On the annual Day of Atonement, the high priest passed behind the curtain just to make the sacrifices. Hey, and just in case the high priest did something wrong and was struck down by God, they would tie a rope around his leg so they could pull him back, because they couldn't go back there. Access, limited. One person for centuries. Jewish people knew the experience of being unable to approach this holy God. But when Jesus comes and he dies, in Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51, it says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He gave up his spirit. And listen to this. The curtain, that thick curtain in the temple, it was torn in two from top to bottom. That's significant, because this is God's initiative, top to bottom. It is not man's initiative. Religion is bottom up. Christianity is top down. Because of the death of Jesus, there is no longer any barrier between God and his people. Friends, the sacrifice of Jesus offered a way for us into the presence of God any day, any hour, any minute we want. It says here, let us continually approach. Imagine that. Being able at any time to approach God's throne without being afraid, without being ashamed. And why? Because it says right here, it is a throne of, look at that word, a throne of grace. A throne of grace. No finger of accusation thrust into your chest. No fear of punishment. No shaming. On the cross, Jesus absorbed 100% of the punishment, 100% of the shame that we deserve for our sins. The penalty for our transgressions has been paid in full by Jesus. Jesus paid it all. We sung that this morning. Today, you can draw near to God with full confidence, because instead of a locked gate, there's a welcome mat. You're accepted, wanted, cherished, loved by your Heavenly Father because of the work of your great high priest. You know, because of Jesus, when we approach God's throne of grace, we know what to expect. Notice what it says, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me explain the difference between mercy and grace. Let's say you're pulled over by a policeman, and instead of giving you a $250 ticket, he lets you off with a warning. That's mercy. You deserve the ticket, you got the warning. But let's say this same police officer says, look, I would love for you next Tuesday evening to come and join our family for a meal. We'd love to get to know you, love to get to know who you are. Friends, that's grace. That's grace. You see, with mercy, you don't get what you deserve. With grace, you get something you don't deserve. That traffic offender did nothing to deserve that meal, but he gets it anyway. See, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, we are graciously invited into our Father's house where we will feast in the house of Zion. See, not because you've earned a spot at the table. That's not Christianity. You don't earn a spot at the table. It's because God, through His grace in Jesus Christ, gives you a place at the table, a place at the feast. Listen, don't buy into the lie of having to, you know, clean yourself up. Get your act together to approach God. All God requires for access is this: confess your inability to make yourself clean enough, to make yourself acceptable enough for God. Then come to your Heavenly Father, trusting in Christ, what Christ has done to make you acceptable, with great humility, with great blood-bought boldness, with confidence. Feel free to approach God because of the work of your great high priest. So our great high priest understands us. Our great high priest welcomes us. He's approachable. Third fact is found in chapter 7. If you will, keep your place there in chapter 4, but turn to chapter 7 of Hebrews. We're going to look at some scripture. The third fact about Jesus, the great high priest, is this: Jesus, the great high priest, is our providing priest. Our providing priest. Understanding, approachable, providing. Look at verse 23. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds this priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, now notice verse 25 especially. He, that is Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Help, I need somebody. And Jesus is the somebody you need. These days, what do we need? Well, obviously we need a cure for COVID-19. We need to get back to work. We need to get back to the community of the church. We need the physical and corporate worship and body life the church provides that we miss so sorely this time. But there's deeper needs that we have that our great high priest alone can meet. Let's look at these for just a moment. One deep need we have is this: we need salvation without an expiration date. Notice it says he is able to save to the uttermost. You know people who walk around today with no assurance of salvation, don't you? You know people, you've talked with people that don't believe once saved, always saved. You know, whoever lacks assurance of salvation, you may be one, needs to marinate in the juices of verse 25. Look at that. He is able to save to the uttermost. As Billy Graham used to say, Jesus saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. In the Old Testament, again, priests were never able to completely cleanse people of sin, no matter how many animals they sacrificed, because you see, today's sacrifices took care of today's sin, but tomorrow's sins sent the priests back to the temple. Again and again and again, because all the Old Testament sacrifices could do is cover the stain of sin. And the problem with just covering the stain of sin is like trying to cover a dark stain on your ceiling. That stain is just going to bleed through again. And you'll see it. When we approach Jesus, He does something. Through the sacrifice of Himself, He permanently removes the stain of sin from the lives of His people. That stain is not going to bleed in. If we approach God through faith alone and Christ alone, we've been cleansed, the sin of stain removed. You don't need a backstage pass to access God. You just need to be able to answer this question. What have I done with Jesus? Have I received Him as my Savior and my Lord? Let's lay all our cards on the table, shall we? Do you really think that you have what it takes to stand by yourself before this God, before the God revealed in the Bible? Do you realize the only qualification you need to have is to draw near to God through faith in Christ alone? See, God is ready, willing, and able to save forever. You, if you're trusting in God's provision of Christ and Christ alone. That's the first deep need you have. Permanent salvation, no expiration date. Second need we have is this. We have a deep need for intercession. That is for someone praying for us, someone praying 24/7. Notice it says, those who draw near to Him, since He always, notice that, always lives to make intercession. During this COVID-19 crisis we've been enduring as shepherds and elders and deacons, John and J. Rev and I have contacted the sheep of Lakeland Presbyterian Church, and what they seem to appreciate most is when we say, how may I pray for you and your family? See, it helps so much, doesn't it, to know there's someone praying for you, to be told specifically, yes, I am praying for you. Well, think about this. Your great high priest, Jesus Christ, prays for you always. See what it says here? He lives always to make intercession for you. And by the way, He lives always. You know what that means? He's living for that. Let me put it this way. He's jazzed. He's pumped about the opportunity to make intercession for you. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, surely, you know, Jesus, I bug Him a lot. And He said, okay, I'll pray for you. All right. You know, here you come again. No, that's not. Jesus is excited about praying for you. Please believe that. He lives to make intercession for you. Listen, these are dangerous days. We're trying to fight an invisible enemy who wants to destroy us. Every time we think we're making progress, the metrics change. We feel the fire of this enemy. We feel like the world is against us, and it is. Listen to these words by the Scottish theologian Robert Murray McShane, and I quote, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet the distance makes no difference. Jesus is praying for me." Beloved, live bravely. Live boldly. You know for a fact, God provides Jesus to pray for you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. This week we continue our slog through what Pilgrim's Progress calls the Slough of Despond. Why don't you reflect on this text here in Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 7. Help, we need somebody. But not just anybody. Jesus is not just anybody. Jesus is, according to this text, the great high priest. He understands. He gets you. He's approachable all the time. And what we need most, forgiveness and someone praying for us, Jesus provides. Aren't you glad? Doesn't that give you a reason to praise God this morning? Let's pray. Lord, what a great, great high priest we have. Lord, indeed, Jesus understands. He gets us. Lord, He's been there. He's been in there with us. But he never fell in the temptation's pit, so he's able to pull us out. Lord, what a great, great high priest we have. He's approachable, not accusatory. We come to your throne of grace, God, and because of Jesus, we get mega doses of mercy and grace. Lord, what a great, great high priest we have. What we need, you provide. Forgiveness without an expiration date. And someone to pray for us 24/365. Lord, thank you this day for being that great high priest that we need to help us through every day of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.